Hallelujah. Endless is the victory that our death has won. Great words, aren't they? And they're true. And that's what we're celebrating, aren't we, today? This should be the greatest celebration in the world. Well, yeah. Okay. But it is a great victory. It is a great celebration. There should be such a great atmosphere of celebration here this afternoon. And before we start seeing, well, why are we so excited about things? Just a short introduction. Many of you will know that I'm the chaplain for Lee Centurions. That was a bigger curtsier than we got for Jesus. Never mind. I'm having a great time. And I've met this guy called Fui Fui Moi Moi. Yeah, great player. He's a great bloke. He's such a He's only about 22 stone, but he's a great player, and everybody loves him at Lee. You know, the crowd cheer when he comes on, and they all say, you know, give us a wave, Fooey, and he waves at them all, and they're all chanting, Fooey, Fooey, Fooey. And it's a great atmosphere, it's a great experience. And recently, he extended his 12 months contract. So we've now got this Tongan international, this world-renowned player, for another 12 months. And what he said when he signed the contract was, I would love to show my gratitude to the fans by scoring a try in front of the North Stand tomorrow. And the North Stand is where all the Leeds supporters stand. And guess what? He did it! Yeah, he scored, and I was there. It was a wonderful occasion, and I've got a video of it, so we're just going to watch the video. Just watch the. I mean, I've never felt atmosphere in a rugby ground like that for a long, long time, since 1971, when we won the Cup. But it was a great experience, so just join in with the fun and the experience. It's great.
Run comes from Penkovic. Ridyard supplies the support on the inside. He's 15 metres out from the try line. It's the last tackle here. Penkovic will send the ball right. Briley, if you're to Fui Fui Moi Moi, he strikes over! Good try for Fui Fui Moi Moi. He joins the fans in the stand. Oh, he's gone for hugs. He's up in the middle of the stand. He's going right to the top of the stand. Oh, straight up to everybody. He's taking the pats on the back. He's dancing with them. He's celebrating with them. That's absolutely magnificent. That's as good, if not better, than Sam Bowell last year when he jumped in the crowd. That is amazing from Moi Moi. How has he got the energy to go and leap all the way up them steps into the crowd? And look at him lapping up the applause.
Yeah. You think the referee will book him like they're in football for taking his shirt off?
Referee's just about back watching him smiling wryly.
That's what's great about rugby. Oh, if fantastic. Stuff like that happens, that is brilliant. I've been longing for that first try in.
Yeah.
No, it's come. It's great. It's great that he's got it in. That now the only thing is, next time he scores, we expect something better than that.
Whoa. Yeah, Fui said, I'm going to score a try tomorrow, and he did. And that was exciting. That was part of what all that excitement was all about. And yet we have something far greater, haven't we, to celebrate. Our Lord Jesus said something would happen in 3 days, and it did. And it was far more than Fui scoring a try, because I wouldn't like to try and stop him. And we're going to look. Now, just let me explain what that is. I'm just going to read from a Bible passage. You don't need to turn to it. It's John chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. So the Jews said to Jesus, what sign do you show us for doing these things? He's just turned over the tables in the temple, the moneylenders' tables. What sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you'll raise it up in 3 days. You can see the irony coming out of the voices there. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So, Jesus was actually saying, kill my body, and in 3 days again, I'll raise it back to life. Hallelujah, hallelujah indeed, yeah. That's a bit more difficult than Fui's try, isn't it? It's a bit more world-changing, as good as Fui's try was. Kill my body in 3 days, and in three days I'll raise it up again, back to life. Now, nobody's been able to come back to life. There was a great escapologist, that means somebody who's good at escaping from things, called Harry Houdini. Do people remember him? Yeah, 1926 he died. And he said, I will find a way back. And you know, it's far more than 3 days since then, and he's not found a way back. But Jesus claimed that he would come back from death, and he actually did come back from death. Well, crazy story. How can we believe that in the modern era, in the 21st century? How can we believe that somebody would die and then raise themselves back to life? It's all against science, isn't it? All against biology. It just can't happen. And so we feel a bit vulnerable. Flipping heck. What we're going to say to everybody? Well, they'll laugh at me when I say I believe that Jesus raised himself from the dead. Well, some Christians have copped out. Sadly, some Christians have said, oh, we'll believe everything else about Christianity, because Jesus' teaching was very good, but not that resurrection. We'll just keep a bit quiet on that resurrection thing. But you know, that's not an option. It's not an option because, when I find it, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, that's fellow Christians who have died, they've perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, no resurrection, then what we are of all people most to be pitied. So if there was no resurrection, then we are to be pitied. Our faith is futile. That means it's incapable of producing any useful result. It's pointless. We've died in our sins and we're not going to be forgiven. And death is the end for us and our loved ones. So is it possible to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did he achieve what nobody else has ever achieved? Did he rise from the dead? Well, strangely enough, there is so much evidence to support the claim that Jesus raised himself from the dead. I remember an early book that I read many, many years ago. It was a famous atheist. He was a barrister. Back a bit. Frank Morrison. And he set out to write a book to discredit Christianity. He knew very well if you disproved the resurrection, you disproved Christianity. And you know, this was in 1930, I think. Even though he was an atheist and he was a barrister, he was used to weighing up evidence. He came to the conclusion if the evidence was presented to a court of law, then the jury would have to find that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. And this man, he was an atheist, he had no sympathy for Christianity. He was a barrister, he was used to weighing up evidence. And for me, that's pretty convincing. And If anybody wants to read his book, it was written in 1930, offers published. It's been released and released and released since then. I think that's a new version of it. And the facts are still the facts. Nobody's disproved them. So we've not time to look at all the evidence. I just want to pick out 2 points. Because I want us to be able to stand in with our secular mates, that's our non-Christian mates, and I want us to be confident, to be able to say, yeah, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want us to be able to do that. So 2 pieces of evidence. 1, the changed lives of the disciples. After Jesus was crucified, the disciples were utterly shattered by the crucifixion. They believed they were following the Messiah, which they were. And they believed the Messiah would raise up a mighty army, defeat the Romans, and make Israel again a mighty power in the world. So of course, when he was killed on a cross, what had they been wasting their life on for 3 years? They'd backed a loser. These were the things that were going through their mind. They wanted just to sink into the background again. Because when Jesus died, their cause had died. So that's the state of the disciples after Jesus was crucified. But something changed. They actually met with the risen Lord Jesus. Shortly after the crucifixion, Peter bravely stood up before the ruling body of the Jews and proclaimed that Jesus is alive and he's the only one who can save you. Yeah? Remember Peter before the crucifixion? He denied Jesus 3 times. Once to a servant woman. He was such a timid character. And yet once he'd seen the risen Lord Jesus, he risked everything and stood before the ruling council. And you know, all the apostles died violent deaths, but still proclaiming that Jesus is alive. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Every one of the apostles that we read about. Peter himself was crucified in Rome, so goes the rumour. He said, I can't die like my Saviour. Crucify me upside down. Yeah? So what changed? What made them change? Now you might say, well, yeah, many people have died for a cause that they believe in. But they don't die for a cause that they know has died before their very eyes. If Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, they would have known that he'd died. So why were they proclaiming the risen Lord Jesus and even dying for that belief? The only answer, the only reasonable thing that can satisfy all those facts is that Jesus actually did rise from the dead. And actually, in our Daily Mail on Saturday, you know, and I keep telling you, it's true if it's in the Daily Mail. It's always true. And they had a columnist called A.N. Wilson, who's a famous intellect historian, I think. And in 1980, he was a Christian, he proclaimed that he'd become an atheist. Couldn't believe in Christianity anymore. The resurrection was ridiculous. And in 2009, he actually wrote an article saying, because of the resurrection, because of the evidence, he'd become a Christian again. He'd turn back on his atheism. And he wrote this: we can easily dismiss Easter as a fairy tale, especially if we hide from ourselves the uncomfortable fact that the first men and women who claimed to be witnesses to Easter were prepared to be tortured and to die horribly rather than deny the risen Christ. So I put it to you, if Christ hadn't risen from the dead, if they hadn't seen him, then they wouldn't be putting their lives at risk to proclaim that he was alive. So the facts, I believe, the facts point most decisively that the changed lives of the disciples meant that Jesus was raised from the dead. The second bit of evidence, the reference to eyewitnesses. So I'll tell you what I mean. I'll just read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 6. The Apostle Paul says this: for I delivered to you as of first importance, yeah? This is what's coming now, is of first importance. Yeah? We can all have a little rose about election and predestination and gifts of the Spirit, and should all Christians speak in tongues, or is it like a gift like anybody else? Should we speak in tongues in public worship? We can have all those disputes, and it's good that we do, but what does Paul say? I delivered to you as of first importance. What's coming now is of first importance. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Yeah? It wasn't a surprise to God that Jesus was crucified. He didn't look down and say, oh my goodness, look what they're doing to my son. It was planned before the creation of the world. It was written about in the Old Testament. He died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The resurrection's there in the Bible. Not a surprise for Jesus or for God. It was going to happen. And then Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. So Jesus appeared to 500 brothers and sisters, I presume that means there. 500 eyewitnesses. And what's Paul saying? If you don't believe what I'm telling you, go to those 500. Most of them are still alive. It was only 20 years ago. Go to them and ask them, was Jesus raised from the dead? He's so confident these eyewitnesses can back up what he's saying. You go. This is my argument. You go and ask them if you don't believe what I'm saying. And we've also to remember that Christians were hated at that time. They were hated by the Romans because we had a different king to their king. They were hated by the Jews. They saw us as a false cult. So we operated in an environment that was very much aggressively against us. And historians would see this appeal to eyewitnesses' support within a hostile environment as a strong evidence for the truthfulness of Paul's claim that Christ rose from the dead. Okay? So those two evidences for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've only had a chance to have a look at two pieces of evidence. There are even more in that book. It's very, very convincing. Like I said before, Frank Morrison, the barrister, informs us, if all the evidence were presented in a court of law, Jesus would be found guilty of rising from the dead. Read the book, Who Moved the Stone? It's still in publication. So, practical application. We can be confident Christians. Yeah, we don't need to be skulking in the background when somebody said, you lot believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't need to go, run away, get drunk or whatever. You don't need to do those things. We can be confident Christians. Yeah, we can be confident Christians when we stand up with our mates, when we stand up in society. We can be confident that in our faith, we have the facts that support what we believe. A few years ago, I watched a TV program. I forget what channel it was on. It was a secular investigation into the resurrection of Jesus, which was very interesting. It considered an enormous amount of evidence. It was very sceptical. But it came to the reluctant conclusion, there is no doubt that Jesus' followers were convinced he had been raised from the dead. So they were convinced. The evidence is overwhelming. And we can stand up and say, look, I am confident. There are strong grounds for believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we can be confident Christians when we stand up with our mates, when we're with secular in a secular world. We can also be joyful and excited. Yeah, Christians. I'm coming back to that great rugby match. Fui Moi Moi is a bit of a mouthful. When Fui said, look, tomorrow I'm going to score a try, and he tried it, and there was all that joy, all that excitement. We can know that joy and excitement, can't we? We can be joyful and excited Christians. Because you know the resurrection means? First of all, it means that Jesus is God. Only God could raise himself up from death. No human being can do it. No angel can do it. No created being can do it. Only God can do that. And the death of Jesus on the cross is confirmed. All the benefits of the cross are confirmed by the resurrection. He died in our place so that we could be forgiven. And so that we could receive eternal life. And just as death could not contain Jesus, then it can't contain us either. Yeah? When I die, Jesus hasn't come by then. Jesus will return sometime in the future. And I will be raised back to life. Yeah, with a body like the risen body of Jesus Christ. Yeah, no more pain, no more death, no more suffering, no more sorrow. All those things. So we can be joyful Christians. And you know, if we're confident, if we're joyful, if we're excited Christians, what we're going to be? Infectious Christians, yeah? Infectious. In other words, we've got something that people are going to catch because they see something different, yeah? And the resurrection of Jesus Christ enables that. It enables us to be confident, joyful, and exciting Christians. Why? Because it's true. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for this weekend when we celebrate the cross. And we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ so that we know that the cross was effective. We know that Jesus is God. We know that God, you can forgive all our sins because you sent your own dear Son on a cross. So, Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.